Let me go all the while with the song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. I feel like traveling. I feel like traveling on. Oh, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Amen. Just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Good to see everyone here. Just want to welcome each and every one of you, all of our visitors. It's good to see every one of you, and just want to welcome those who are streaming online. If we could sing Shout to the Lord. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love, my comfort. Oh, my comfort, my shelter, tower.
Worship you, oh,
Let's sing, Hear My Prayer, O Lord. I'm not sure what key it is. Yeah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, from the ends of the earth. Brother Brian McCall's friend, he was killed in a truck wreck, so we just want to remember him and, of course, their family. If we could just pray for Brother Ron Knobloch with a shoulder issue. And then little Emeryn John has been going through allergies, and just want to take that up to the Lord. And then, of course, we want to continue to remember Sister Haley and Sister Megan as they're looking to go through this next step in life with their pregnancies. And then we just want to remember Brother Peter and Sister Rachel as they're gone. And then also remember Brother Troy Hughes. And then the James family is away, so we just want to remember them as well as the Doucettes. If I could have Brother Ben McCaffrey, if you could just take these knees up to the Lord. And also pray for the tithes and offering.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to say that we love you and we truly appreciate your grace and mercy to us, Father. And Lord, it's good just to be able to take some time during the middle of the week just to come and set things aside, Father, and just come and worship and listen to your word. Lord, these prayer requests that our brother Joe brought forth, Father, we just ask that you'll touch them. Lord, and all the different needs that were brought up, Lord, we just ask in each situation, Lord, that you would come and take care of them, Father, and that you would have your will in each way. Lord, as the offering's going to be taken up, Lord, we just ask that you'll bless those that can give and those that can't. And Lord, help us to do our part tonight, Father, and to help pull in the word as we hear our speaker come, Father, Lord, that we'll do our part. And Lord, that we may be able to leave here today, Lord, just a little closer to you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
As you guys are seated, can we sing, I Give My Mind Completely to You, Lord? I give my mind completely to you, Lord. Fill me with your thoughts. Make it all brand new. Change my life. Let me live in all that's true. I just want to think like you. I give my mind completely to you.
let's stand and sing it tonight.
And worship at your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Right now.
Sing it again now. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it again. Close your eyes. Make it your prayer now tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we sing it to you, Lord. We need you, Lord.
We need you, Lord.
We need you, Lord.
We need you, Lord.
Right now. Personal.
Well, I need you, Lord.
I need you,
Lord. I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
Right
now. Yes, Jesus.
Oh, I need you, Lord.
Yes, I do.
I need.
Amen. You may be seated. Brother John, come on up. Brother John's going to sing for us here tonight. My, what a lovely atmosphere. What great expectation within the building. We appreciate that very much. And I think we're just picking up from Sunday. And that's what Brother Bram said would happen. Brother John, good to have you tonight. You can sing right here.
Okay, right here. You all know the song, On My Way Home. If you don't, it's okay. I'll sing without music. It's fine. Praise the Lord. I want to greet you all in the awesome name of Jesus Christ. He's doing something right among us now. Amen. And I want to greet you from the folks there at Brother Stephen Coffey's church. And it's just a privilege to be here. It's been an awful lot of years. Amen. Goodness gracious. But it's good to be here. Amen.
I'm only passing through on my way home. Heaven is the place where I belong. It's more than just a feeling or a dream. A land beyond the stars is calling me. When my Savior comes for me, I'll go to live forever finally at home. I search the world far and wide, trying to fit in, to find the place where I was meant to be. But I never felt the peace inside I was looking for until I walked the road to Calvary. Kneeling there, I realized there was so much more than this old world could ever hold for me. I'm only passing through on my way home. Heaven is the place where I belong. It's more than just a feeling or a dream. A land beyond the stars is calling me. When the Savior comes for me, I'll go to live forever finally at home. My mind just can't imagine what these eyes will behold when I reach the land of brilliant light. Captured in the moment that I've waited for so long, I will gaze in wonder and delight. For now I'll just keep traveling down this road that leads me home. Soon I'll take my heavenly flight. I'm only passing through on my way home. Heaven is the place where I belong. It's more than just a feeling, oh, a dream. A land beyond the stars is calling me. When the Savior comes for me, I'll go to live forever finally at home. Day will last forever, night will never come. Over the horizon, there's no setting sun. I'm only passing through on my way home. Heaven is the place where I belong. It's more than just a feeling or a dream. A land beyond the stars is calling me. When the Savior comes for me, I'll go forever, finally at home. I'm just a passing through on my way home.
Appreciate that. Well, I was talking to Brother Paul LaFontaine today, and he was asking me, he says, you know, how have I been and so forth. And I said, well, I said, just let me tell you about the ministry we've had here the last 3 weeks or so. And I listed off all the ministers that we had. It's good to have Brother Tim on vacation tonight. This is unusual to see Brother Tim on vacation. And but good to have him in. And I listed off all the ministers, and he just said, remind me never to come to your church again. He said, after a string of ministers like that, and tonight we're just honored to have Brother Brian all the way from South Africa, from Johannesburg, South Africa. And he has been up in Alaska, flew from South Africa to Alaska to preach in Anchorage, and flew back on the red eye last night to get here today. And Brother Aaron picked him up at the airport. So you pray for him tonight, because that's pretty exceptional. We are glad to have his wife as well, Sister Crystal. Good to have you here tonight with Brother Brian. And we appreciate all of you being here tonight as well. Good to have the Cockmans back and Pews and just each and every one of you. May God bless you. Just want to ask you to remember Brother John and Sister Jennifer Cockman. And they were in their hearing today for custody of the two kids. And the judge pushed it out, still investigating and trying to find facts about the potential father of the girls. And it's been a very difficult day for them. And I told them tonight we'd sure pray for them and just ask the Lord to surround them and let His perfect will be done. That's just a tough situation for sure. So let's stand to our feet tonight. And I know tomorrow is going to be a busy day for most of us. We have things happening and so forth. But tonight, if I were you, I mean, this is what I'm going to do. I would just put my feet under the table and pull on the gift. And just do your part and watch how the Holy Spirit does His part. And that's exciting.
Amen.
And so we want you just to open your minds and your hearts now and just let the Holy Spirit have His way and speak to you. Let's sing Have Your Way. And we'll turn it over to Brother Brian.
Oh, have your way.
For the privilege we have tonight to be in your presence. What an atmosphere, Lord, just to be surrounded by you, be, Lord, in your presence where we know all the dross, all the things of the world can just vanish, hearts can be mended. Father, you can make every crooked straight. You can, Lord, heal, can deliver, you can set free. For Lord, we know the benefits that we have of being in your presence, Father. We know the power of the word. And so we just want to pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you would have your way.
Yes.
As we pray, Father. We pray, Lord God, that you would, Lord, make yourself more real to us. May you unfold, Lord God, the manifold blessings to us and help us to walk circumspectly. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord God, to be here with your children. Father, I pray that you would speak and speak spirit, truth, and life. And Lord God, may you come and have all preeminence And may you have all the glory. For Lord, we don't want to be seen or to be heard, but we want Christ to be, Lord, be revealed in the most simplest way, Father. Bless our gathering is our prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I just want to greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to be back here again and just to share the word and just shine light a little bit here and there. I want to say thank you to Brother Barry for the open door to be here with you tonight. And I was pleasantly surprised. I'm going to say it like the British. Pleasantly surprised to see Brother Tim Dodd at the back. Amen. We've just been it's a couple of months ago that we've been in South Africa together. So I'm happy to see him. And I bring greetings to all of you from Brother Harold Beckett. Brother Barry, he says, before I left the airport, he says, Brother Brian, you gave me a call. He says, please, when you get everywhere, just tell him I say, God bless you, and you keep on praying for one another. So I bring greetings from him and the different brothers, the different churches. Let's go into the word tonight. I don't think we have anything special. We are just simple men of God, just trying to do our best. But the Lord has laid a little thought on my heart just before coming, and I'd like to share it with you tonight. I won't be long. 2 hours at least. Ephesians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles with you. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read from verses 1 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 10. I was up with Brother Ed Hammermeister there in Alaska. And I didn't know he was going to be in Alaska himself. So I said, Brother Ed, looks like me and you have a return ministry. We were together at Brother Ron's a couple of months ago, and now we're in Alaska. My, what's the odds, huh? So he says, hey, Brother Brian, don't start the new thing. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1. And you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I want you to notice the spirit that's working in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, if we can just take that portion alone, but God, if he didn't come our way, we would have probably been wayward. But God, amen. We could have been out there, but tonight, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Listen again. It's a double emphasis. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had ordained before that we should walk in them. May the Lord add a blessing upon the reading of his word. You may take the comforts of your seats here tonight. Thank you. Yeah. Brother Tim, I would rather you stand here and me sit down there. But a lot has fallen on me to be here up tonight. And it's nice to see Sister Sarah as well and the children. May God bless you as well. I'm here with my wife, Crystal. And we also bring greetings from the local church there, Spokenwood Tabernacle. So may God bless you tonight. I want to speak a simple subject, not something very deep. I think sometimes people measure, I don't know, how do you measure depth, you know? Because sometimes people say the brother's not deep. How do you measure depth? Because it's a good question. Because sometimes you can be simple but be so deep. And I don't think it's about depth. I think it should go down deep. I think that's what it's all about. I think we should really do introspect. I think we should really see how far we are. I mean, that's the reason we come to church. I mean, we are born with the wrong nature. And we come to church because we need to correct our birth. Is that right? We come to church because we are born sinful, born and shaped in iniquity. Like David says, in sin did my mother conceive me. And he say, I came with my back to turn towards God. So we come to church for those reasons. And I think we should always look at that. Amen. Now, I want to speak on a simple subject, accessing the full benefits of the covenant. Accessing the full benefits of the covenant. So the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, that we are saved by grace, not by any works that we have done. So when God saves you by grace, he introduces you to a covenant. Catch what I'm saying. When God saves you, he introduces you to a covenant. Saying to you, not because anything that you have boast. Listen, friends, there's nothing in our birth that we can boast about. Can we say amen? It's not because of our race, our gender, or anything, or how much wealth we have, of what we've accumulated. That has nothing to do. We can't boast on anything. When it comes to grace, we can't put any attachment to it. So when God saves you by grace, he introduces you to a covenant. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Saving you not because of anything that you have done, but he brings you into a covenant with him. And the definition of a covenant is actually an agreement. That's the definition of a covenant. It's an agreement. Amen. It's a contract. And it's also a promise between two parties, specifying responsibilities and privileges. That's the definition of a covenant. And we must understand, for your salvation, you didn't have to do anything. We must understand. You didn't do anything for your salvation. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't earn it. You did not deserve it. You could not even purchase it. Can we say amen? Amen. You couldn't purchase it. And I don't think that we can go anywhere to buy it. We can't go to the Catholic Church. We can't go to an organized religion. We can't exchange it for a little feeling. We can't change it for a little emotion. Because you can't purchase this. Amen. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You could not purchase it. Salvation is God's idea. It's not a church idea. It's not a man's idea. It is God's idea. Will you allow me to have a little introduction here tonight? Salvation was God's provision. It is God's gift to us tonight. But when it comes to save you, now you've got to enter into a covenant. And now there's an expectation from both sides. And this is where we want to get to tonight. Now you are saved. What do I do when I'm saved? Do I jump? Do I shout? Do I say hallelujah? Is that why I stop? Do I just come to church? Do I just clap hands? Do I sing? What do I do? Now you enter into a covenant relationship. And that's where a lot of people get stuck. And that is where organized religion have stopped. They've stopped at salvation. They've stopped at the cross. But you need to come all the way up to the Feast of the Tabernacles. You start at the Feast of the Passover, but you have to come all the way up to the Tabernacles. And it's a process. It is growth. Amen. You can't have the seals without having the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Because the book and the lamb goes together. Can we say amen? When God saves you, you enter into a covenant. And now there's an expectation. From both sides. There are things now that you have to do as a result of your salvation. You must understand, it's not that you become a son. It's because you are a son. Amen. There are things now that you have to do as a result of your salvation. And it's not because, amen, you're going to become a son. It's because you are a son. Let me tell you what the prophet says. In a church age book, he says, we did not become seed by rebirth. He says, we were seed and therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. He says, because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. He says, none seed, there is nothing in them to be quickened. So it's not something that you have done. It's what he has placed inside of you before the foundation of the world. It's not our ability. It's not our achievements. It's nothing that we have done. It's that germ seed that is placed inside of you before the foundation of the world. Listen, if God had to do it by hand raising, which part would you want to choose? I'm sure you wouldn't want to be Pharaoh. You wouldn't want to be the Pope. Come on, our friends. You wouldn't want to be the foolish bride. So God didn't do it by hand raising. He did it by election. So we were elected by grace. And because we were elected by grace, that's the reason we can be reborn again. Because Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Amen. Can we say amen to that? Now, God makes a covenant with us, and it's an unconditional covenant. Let me idle there for a minute. I like to idle. I like to idle at certain points. When God makes a covenant with us, it's an unconditional covenant. But it doesn't mean there's no requirements in the covenant. Let that sink in right there. When God brings you into a covenant, or He makes an unconditional covenant, it doesn't mean you don't have to do nothing. Many believers confuse unconditional covenant with unrestricted living. And it becomes a doctrine, you see. So now, because I'm under an unconditional covenant, I can just live it any way I want to. I'm going to heaven. You know, I'm a bride member. You know, God died for me, saved me, loved me. I can drink, I can smoke, I can curse, I can fast, I can fight, I can do all those things because I'm under an unconditional covenant. Being under an unconditional covenant doesn't mean unrestricted living. There's still a requirement. Can we say amen? If God loves me, this is what people say. If God loves me, I can live whichever way I want. Brother Benham says, that's exactly the mistake people make. And he says, that's the proof that they are non-seed. He says, because I'm predestinated, I can do whatever I want to. I can go wherever. Brother Benham says, that kind of thinking is exactly non-seed. But you see, non-seed will not have that type of thinking. Non-thinking will stick to the contract. Non-seed will stick to the agreement. Non-seed will stick to the covenant. And let's look at this quickly for this evening. An unconditional covenant, but it's an unconditional covenant, but it's still a covenant. It's still an agreement. An agreement between two parties. It's unconditional, but there's still an agreement. And you have to keep your part. That's why when Brother Barry started, and I said, let's do our part. I said, oh my, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Because we need to do our part. God has done His part. Can we say amen? And listen to this. It still requires, amen, that we keep the agreement. It still contains expectations. It's an unconditional covenant. I'll prove it to the scripture. It still contains expectations. There's a requirement in the covenant. Breaking the requirement doesn't break the covenant. And that's the difference between a conditional covenant and an unconditional covenant. An unconditional covenant, God didn't ask you for anything. Amen. But a conditional covenant is when God says, if you eat that day of that tree, that day you die. But unconditional is, He does it for you. But it doesn't mean that there's no requirement for you. There's no expectation. And we'll see it in the scripture just now. A conditional covenant was the covenant that God established with Adam. And as long as that condition was met, the covenant stood. And the moment the condition was broken, the covenant itself was broken. But in an unconditional covenant, failure does not destroy the covenant.
Amen. How about that?
Your failure doesn't destroy the covenant. Your mistakes doesn't destroy the covenant. But when it went back to Genesis, when Adam made a mistake, when they fell, all that covenant was broken because it was a conditional covenant. But when you fail, brother and sister, the covenant still remains because God will keep His part of the bargain. Can we say amen tonight? The covenant stands because it rests on God's promises. Yet, there's still expectations. Amen. Let's read it. Titus chapter 2, verses 11. Won't be long tonight, but let's just break into this little thought here tonight. So we understand there's a conditional covenant, there's an unconditional covenant. You're saved, but now there's expectations in the covenant that God calls you. Just remember that. Are we agreeing that we are saved by grace? Yes. Everybody agrees with me. We are saved by grace. Yes. Right? But listen to what he says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. That's you. You put yourself in the scripture. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men. But it doesn't just appear. What does it do? It teaches you. Teaching us that. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Not in the new world. In the present world. So that's God's expectation. After you've obtained grace, he brings you into a covenant. But there's a part that you must play. And what is that part? You need to live soberly. You need to walk righteously. Amen. In this present world, because God is going to prove to the devil that there's a people that cannot break the covenant. Hallelujah. Because it's an unconditional covenant. God is going to take, I like what the prophet says, God is going to take a bride in Satan's Eden. Because Satan took a bride in God's Eden. And he says, Eve fell. But he says, this Eve in the last day is ordained not to fall. Amen. Can we say amen to that? Amen. What does this grace of God teach us? It bringeth salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So we are saved by grace, but grace does not tell us we can do whatever we want to do. Can we say amen? Amen. Or live however we want. Grace brings you now into this requirement. It brings you into this covenant. And once grace brings you in, there's an expectation from our side. Notice, Paul did not say grace excuses ungodliness. He said grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. Grace makes you deny anything that is ungodly. That is why when you really understand the revelation of grace, you can't turn your back on the message. Oh, I hope that sings real deep. Because once you have a genuine revelation of genuine grace, not just a theory, not just a doctrine, not just coming to church, not just being in a fellowship, but once you get into that revelation, a personal revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Oh, friends, let me tell you something. Oh, you live for Christ every minute of the hour. I'm not saying you're not going to make mistakes. Brother Mim says, we're going to have mistakes. But you're going to live every hour, amen, every minute, as the rapture is going to take place in the next 5 minutes. We are saved by grace. But grace cannot be turned into disgrace. Once grace brings you in, there's an expectation from our side. Notice, Paul did not say grace excuses ungodliness. He said grace teaches us to deny anything of the flesh. Now, the evidence that you are under this grace is not that you can sin freely. But the evidence that you are under this grace is that grace is teaching you to live differently. So grace is not permission. But grace is power. Grace doesn't lower God's standard. Grace gives you power to walk in God's standard. That's why you cannot really teach or catch God's grace unless you have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you'll go to the extremes. You'll go on either other side. And one of the sides is, if I make one mistake, I'm finished. And the other side is, it doesn't matter what I do, and yet both is wrong. Because the covenant is stronger than your failures. Amen. The covenant still calls for obedience. God does not judge you according to your mistakes, but he expects us to live according to his words. Can we say amen? If we break the terms of the covenant, then God must, if we break the terms of the covenant, God doesn't terminate this covenant. He steps right in. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, may God help us tonight. He says, you are my child. I will correct you. I will chasten you. I will restore you. Amen. But I will not disown you. That means God cannot divorce me. That means God cannot put me away. Putting me away is putting himself away. Because I'm his thoughts. I'm the very expression of God. Amen. That's why, friends, once you step into having God's thoughts, oh, friends, then you can say, friends, I'm walking in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He will not disown us because we are sons. Now, there's a relationship between father and son. I don't want to say not the girls. Girls, you are included as well. But there's a relationship, sonship. A child is not a child because he obeys. A child is a child because he's born into that family. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not because he's just an obedient son. But he's got seed. He's got a special bond with the father. And you are not God's child because you performed well. This is not a marathon.
Yeah.
This is not you've won the Olympics. This is not you've run a great race and God says, my, here's a trophy, here's a medal for you. No, no, nothing you have done. This is not about who finishes the race first. This is about blessed are they who endures to the end. Can we say amen? It's not he who starts the race, but it's he who ends the race. And we see that even at election, right in the time of conception, it's not the first one that comes to the womb. It's the elected one that goes in. Amen. Can we say amen? Amen? You are not God's child because you performed well. You are God's child because you have been born again. There's an unbreakable bond. I'm coming to something here tonight. But to access the fullness and benefits of that relationship, there are expectations. And if a child disobeys his father, he still remains a child. He'll get a little chastising here and there, but he still remains a child.
Yeah.
Do you hear what I'm saying? So even if we go through things and we start little failures here and there, you still remain a son. And that's why we can't let the devil give us condemnation.
Right.
We shouldn't sit with a sin conscience. We should be free from sin. Because he came to answer the sin question on Calvary. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed tonight. Oh, let me say this quickly. We want to look at Abraham just for a few minutes. And we want to look at that. If you take Ephesians chapter 2, which I've done. If you take Ephesians chapter 2 and you read from verses 1 right up to 10, you can trace the whole life of Abraham. And Abram's life parallels our life. Because Brother Abraham says, in Abram we see election. Is that right? Isaac, we see grace. Amen. Jacob, grace. And then we see Isaac is justification. Jacob, grace. And then Joseph, perfection. So we can parallel our lives in the lives of these patriarchs. But if you just take Abraham and you take him into Ephesians chapter 2, then you'll be able to see that we were just like him on a journey. That we were also in times past, we worshipped idols. We also worshipped things that, and we sacrificed to devils. But God, by election, out of all of Babylon, God only elected Abraham.
Yeah.
It was only Abraham. And then God says to him, Abraham, I'd like you to come to me. Now, let us read it quickly. Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1. And the Lord said unto Abraham, notice his name is not Abraham yet, he's Abram. Get thee out of thy kindred, out of thy country, thy kindred, and thy father's house. Notice three instructions here. Leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your father's house. He did not completely leave his kindred. Lot remained attached to him. And this is where I'm going to... What Brother Benham says, yeah, I'd like to bring to you in Jehovah Jireh. In 1955, 0222, Brother Benham says in Jehovah Jireh, if you will notice, God never did give the promise to Abram until absolutely.
Yeah.
He annihilated himself from all of them. Is that right? He says the old man was all right, but he always a thorn in the flesh. And then Lot, look at what he did. Always trouble between the herdsmen and so forth. So brethren, it says God didn't fully bring Abraham to that blessing or to that full promise until he annihilated himself from every attachment. So he didn't have full access until God saw that Abram could fulfill his expectation. Amen. So Abram had to leave father, he had to leave country, and he had to leave kindred. He left country, but he still stayed with his kindred. If we must bring Father Abram to the podium tonight, and we had to ask him, Abram, why did you take Lot and take him on a journey? Abram will give you all the human reasons as to why Lot had to go through. He could have said, Lot don't have a job. Lot don't have an income. Lot needs me. I'm Lot's caretaker. He could have given all the possible reasons as to why Lot must be in the journey. But God is not interested in possible reasons. God wants you to keep your part of the covenant. Amen. Can we say amen? Oh, yeah. Now watch your friends. God never did give the promise to Abram until absolutely. That struck me. But God already called him. He was already elected. He was already chosen. But he was walking under, how can we say, living under God-given privileges. Because Abram, according to the prophet, he's not reaching his full potential. He's a son, but he's not a mature son yet. Because he's got attachments. Let me tell you, God wants sons to come to maturity. God wants to have a relationship with his children like he did in the Garden of Eden. That's why Brother Bam says the opening of the seals has brought the Eden glory back to us again. We are now back into the same relationship. And God wants us to handle the word and mix the word with faith. Is that right tonight? I want to read what the prophet says now quickly. He says now, in heaven, have not I sent thee, 1962. As I said last night, there's always three elements. There's always how many elements? He says the first is unbelievers. The second is make-believers. The third is believers. He says there was the Sodomites, the unbelievers. There was Lot, the make-believer. But he says Abram's father was the thorn in his flesh. So Abram had three elements that was his problem. The father, the thorn in the flesh. The make-believer Lot. And here was another man that was supposed to come forth, which is the Ham in Abraham.
Yeah. Right.
Can you see? The true believer needed to be quickened. The true believer needed to be awakened. But as long as you walk with the make-believer and the man in the flesh, your kindred.
Oh. Go ahead.
Oh, I hope you hear me well tonight. We are too much in the flesh, friends. That's why we cannot get to our full potential. We are too temperamental sometimes. Amen. Some is too noisy. Some is too quiet. Some is too this. Some is too rowdy. Some just, no brother, you know what? We need to move away from our kindred. We are a special class of people. Sons and daughters. With privileges. Under a God-given covenant. And we must walk in God's expectation of our lives tonight. I want you to see that. Now Abraham has three elements. The first element, he's got the flesh man, his father. And until his father dies, Abraham now still is moving forward. God says, leave your kindred, leave your father's house. Leave. But Abraham is still attached to family. So in other words, Abraham is still in church life. Oh, people get trapped in church life. Listen, God wants to call us out of church life into eternal life. Amen. Because in church life, you'll see all the mistakes. Yeah. In church life, you'll have a problem with this. You'll have a problem with that. You'll have a problem with this. But when you come to eternal life, you're no longer in church life. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You've stepped into eternal life.
Amen. Come on.
And once you step into eternal life, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Amen. The hope of glory.
Amen.
Think about it. There was an Abraham in Abram. Let me say that again slowly. There was an Abraham in Abram. But he still remained Abram. Because he didn't put away the flesh man. The make-believer. Brother Benham calls Lot the make-believer. Now the make-believer is your spirit. Come on, friends. The flesh is your five senses. We go on feelings. What we see, she didn't greet me. Did you see how she looks? Did you see how he looks at me? Oh, did you see that? Oh, did you see that? Brother, we don't move. We should crucify the flesh. We should die to ourselves. And this is the guy that gets us into so many trouble. Have you noticed from Genesis 12 to Genesis 13, in between, God never spoke to Abram until Lot was separated. God won't speak until we come into a full separation. Total separation from all unbelief. How can two walk together unless you agree? I've got news for you. Walking around with an unbeliever. Well, now you're looking at me shocked. Eh? This is an unbeliever. You're walking around with him. And by the way, this unbeliever is very expensive. Huh? This unbeliever wants electricity. This unbeliever wants expensive perfume. This unbeliever wants Armani suits or Armani suits. The unbeliever wants this. It wants to be makeup the here and there. The unbeliever don't want wrinkles. The unbeliever don't want to get old. Is that right? You're walking around and we spend so much time with the unbeliever. The unbeliever tells you don't go to church.
Oh my, yeah. Go ahead.
Come on, friends. It's the unbeliever that gives us trouble.
Amen.
Your gene. Natural gene. The flesh man. And Lot is the make-believer. He believes what you... Abram, what did God say? Yeah, God said, I must. Oh, Abram, God. Have you noticed? Abram went in circles with Lot. Just in circles. I want you to notice, when Lot was attached to Abram, that's when the famine came. But it doesn't mean there was no covenant. The covenant still stood. But he had to come to the full benefit of the covenant. You see, God doesn't remove his word. He waits for you until you make a decision. But God is not going to push himself. God is a gentleman. God is not going to enforce things on you. He is going to wait until you say, Lord, here am I. I surrender all. It's not me, Lord, but Lord, take all of me, Father. Hallelujah. So Brother Benham calls Lot a make-believer. Abram's father represented, as Brother Benham puts it, a thorn in the flesh man. But there's another man that was looking for communion with Abraham, and that was Melchizedek.
Amen.
He was looking for communion. So the greatest enemy to deeper revelation is not always sins.
Right.
It is sometimes association. Sometimes compromise. Sometimes it's carrying what God told you to leave behind. And you know, people will make excuse for the flesh. This is the way I am. God made me this way. Who said so? Huh? And then we ask this question, when is God speaking to me? First check, what are you having? Check what is on, what are you attaching? Where are you going with? Who are you traveling with? Who is still attached to you? And after Lot was separated, then Genesis 13. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. After that Lot was separated from him. Note these words. After that Lot was separated from him. Not before, but after. So the covenant was still secure. But access to more of the covenant was waiting on Abram's obedience.
Amen.
That's what God is waiting for tonight.
Amen.
And full obedience to the word. entitles you to the token. Amen. God requires that tonight. Full obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I mean, we sacrifice a lot of things. We sacrifice to be here. We sacrifice to be in church. But God says, listen, I appreciate your sacrifice, but obedience to my word is better than your sacrifice. Amen. Can we say amen to that? So access to more of the covenant was waiting on Abram's obedience. Genesis chapter 13 verses 15 says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. Now this is a language that God never spoke to Abram before. He just said, come, follow me. I'll show you land, blah, 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 and I will take you further. But leave your father, leave your kindred, leave your country, follow me. Yeah. Abram had to just pick up and go. But remember, he still follows his kindred. And here he comes, Lot goes, after Lot goes, after a lot of trouble. If you're in a famine, check where's Lot. Yeah. If you are going through something, if you fall short, check where's Lot. If you're going through some strife, check where's Lot. Because he's the guy that gives you a lot.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me? For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. So God begins to open up dimensions of the covenant that Abram had never seen before. God begins to open up. It begins to break forth. God says, for all the land that thou seest, to thee will I give it. But first, you've got to separate from this guy. And listen what Abram does. Abram says to Lot, Lot, listen, I'm tired of living this life now. Amen. If you go this way, I go that way. If you go that way, I go this way. Can you understand what I'm saying? That is how you deal with the flesh man. You go the total opposite. The flesh tells you to do that, you go the other way. That's how you deal with the make-believer. If he tells you go that way, you say, no, I'm going that way. Brother Bim says, how do you get rid of a stubborn spirit? He says, you do the opposite. Amen. That's how you deal with the kindred spirit. The make-believer, the unbeliever, you do the opposite. He says, do that. You says, no, I'm doing this. It's a conscious decision, friends.
Yeah.
And yet we fail sometimes right there. The flesh tells you, do that. Say that. Tell her. Give her a bit of your mind. Uh-oh. Ouch. Sister, it's so heavy on my chest, I must tell you, you know. And I'll be free from that. Who makes you say that? Yeah. You know, I just want to feel better. I need to feel light. It's so heavy, you know. Oh, sister, I need to just tell you. You know, I saw brother so-and-so, but... and then you give all the detail. And once you give the detail, and then that super, that spiritual indignation comes up and says, let's pray for the brother. Huh? After you've given all the detail, now you want to sound religious. Oh, let's pray for him. Oh, shame. He's going through a rough patch. You know, for God so loved our brother. Now all the quotes are coming forth. He's still up. We need to draw a bigger circle, brother. We can't exclude. But after you've given all the detail, may God help us. Amen. Amen. But here, once you get rid of that spirit by doing the total opposite, then God can open up dimensions of the book for you. Oh, glory. God can open up different dimensions of the book. Now remember, Brother Bam says, it's like a rocket that bursts. Sometimes we see one part. Now he says, don't go and sit on it. Because that one part can break into five parts. And then it will break again. That other part will break again into another five parts. He says it's a continuous unfolding. That is why true fivefold ministers, they don't come to really give you something new. What they do is they give you a further expression. They're not canceling out what God said. They're just giving you a further expression. It's like Micaiah. Micaiah, amen. Micaiah gave a little further than what Elijah prophesied. Yeah, Elijah said, listen, Jezebel, the dogs will lick your blood. That's all he said. But when Micaiah came, he said, how it's going to happen? Oh, I see Israel scattered like a sheep. Oh, I see you going into battle. Oh, I see you not returning. Oh, I see you doing this. And they said, where do you get that? That's not what Elijah said. Where's the quote, brother? Micaiah didn't have a quote, but he had another dimension. He had another breaking forth of what Elijah said. Sometimes you guys want quotes for everything. I'm not saying we must not have quotes. Don't get me wrong, please. One brother said to me, Brother Tim, one brother said to me, brother, there's certain parts of the Bible that you don't have to preach because Brother Branham never touched on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's dangerous. That's very dangerous. There's certain parts. He says, now you're preaching on Proverbs. Brother Branham didn't preach all of Proverbs. Just touch on the scriptures that he touched. Now, that is Lot. Lot wants to keep you in circles. Lot wants to keep you. Lotus, Abram walked in the wilderness. Abram went from tent to tent, here and there, little, there, little. Never coming to Hebron. Oh, may God help us tonight. Yes, Micaiah, he gives a little further expression, a little further than what Elijah said. He's not saying Jezebel is not going to be killed. He's just telling you how it's going to happen. And guess how did it happen, friends? Let me stop right there. The brothers came up to Micaiah with quotes. They said to Micaiah, Micaiah, according to Moses, Ramoth Gilead belongs to us. And Micaiah said, amen. So what is your problem? Why are you prophesying that we're going to die? He said, well, I never said. I'm saying what the prophet is saying. This is the hour of judgment. This is the hour where Elijah's prophecy is coming to fulfillment.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me, friends? And that's where the fivefold ministry is right now. True fivefold ministries. They are telling you, we are in a time of judgment. We are telling you, it's time to leave behind. It's time to get into another dimension. It's time to get into the full benefits. It's time to get into the body change. It's time to get into a new dimension. It's time to get into New Jerusalem. It's time to get into the full benefits. But Lot has to go. He says, lift up your eyes, Abraham. Look to the north. Look to the south. Look to the east. Look to the west. I don't know if I'm looking right now, but anyway. I don't know where am I. I just landed, so I don't know if I'm north, south, west, whatever. But can you and I look to the north? We see the lion. We see the ox. We see the eagle. We see the four living creatures. And what do we see? We see the throne room. What do we see? We see the four anointings. What do we see? We have access again. Abram had to walk naturally to the north. We don't have to go to the north, friends. Let's go to the north of the word. You'll find out it started off with an ox or the lion. Then it went to the man, ox. Then it went to the man. Then it went to the flying. Walk into the promises. See what God has promised for you. You have access to the tree of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Our walk is not natural. We are walking scripturally in every promise of the book. That's why once you come into the throne room, oh friends, the devil will have to get through these four creatures to get to you.
Right.
I hope you hear me well. And if the devil gets to you, he has to first pass the blood. And if he gets under the blood, he becomes your brother. And Satan can never be your brother. Can we say amen? Watch your friends. So he had to walk through the north, the east, the west, the south. He had to walk through the land and possess the land. The covenant did not change. But Abram changed.
That's right.
God is not going to change his word for you.
That's exactly right.
You have to change
to
fit the word.
Amen.
So the covenant never changed. Abram changed. So there's a change needed from us. And when Abram changed, more of a covenant became available to him. In other words, God, listen friends, God wants to trust us with third pull. And when we say third pull, we're not just talking about speaking things into existence. We're talking about the unfolding of the word. We are looking at seeing more of who Eliezer, who Isaac is. through the ministry of Eliezer by seeing what is the full revelation. There's more for us if we just enter in and go from Genesis to Revelation, from cover to cover, from the north to the south, the east and the west. See every promise, every story in the Bible. Brother Bam says, if we can't see Christ in every scripture, he says, go read it again until you see Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we say amen tonight? Amen. So when Abram changed, more of the covenant became available. Yes. God has blessings reserved for his sons who's willing to walk further. I want you to notice, not different sons, the same sons. But sons who are willing to obey further. Amen. Not just being on time for church. Not just having a quiet time. Those are church orders. But we need to go beyond that too, where your revelation is quickened. Because revelation needs quickening. Yes, sir. We've looked at Peter. Peter had revelation, but with that revelation, he denied Christ. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, now flesh and blood has not revealed us to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this rock I'll build my church. And Peter, you can imagine the smile on his face. Brothers, brothers, you know, I've got a revelation that nobody has in the message of the hour. You find people speak like that. And my revelation is the greatest revelation. Friends, we're all subject in this covenant blessing. Nobody's above it. Amen. There's no special blessings. There's no special book for the minister and another book for the laity. We're reading the same book. Why? It's one covenant. We are under one headship. We are under one Lord and one Father and one baptism. We are under one headship, and that's Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is how salvation works in your life. You are saved by grace. God did not ask you to pay for it. It's a free gift. But from the moment you are saved, you enter into a covenant. There are riches deposited into your covenant account. Your covenant bank account, where you can cash in on blessings. Brother Ben calls it the unlimited. It's unlimited what God can do, friends. I say, Brother Brian, but does it mean I'm going to always have certain things? No. God doesn't just give his children everything. He has to take you through a journey. But he has peace that surpasses all understanding. He has joy. Can I say he has consolation? He has revelation. He has power. He has deliverance. He has fellowship. Amen. He's a guide for us in that same blessing covenant. There is more in your account than what you're presently withdrawing. Listen, the Bank of America has a limit for you. Our First National Bank in South Africa, there's a limit for your withdrawal. But it comes to God. And you a son. Oh, my friends. You can speak. Why? You are a son that's mature. The Father can trust you now. The Father now can give authority to you now. You can handle the Father's business. Why? You've let God, Lord, go. You've done your requirements. You've met God's requirements. The issue is not God's willingness, friends. The issue is our response. It's our response. And if we don't respond, we miss it. Catch what I'm saying. If we don't respond, we miss it. Remember Brother Ben was in a service? And he said to the brother, brother, you got a rupture over there. He said, an angel of the Lord is standing right there next to you. He says, brother, do you agree? Can you feel it? And the brother never responded. And Brother Ben says, it left you. It went over to somebody else. Now, friends, I believe with all my heart that angel never left. A mighty angel is still here.
Yes, right. Amen.
And he's still moving from church to church. Listen, he didn't stop in Shreveport. He didn't stop in Louisiana. He didn't stop only in Jeffersonville. He's moving all over the earth. We're talking about omnipotence. We're talking about the great I am. We're talking about he's a thought away.
Yeah.
We talk about if we can say whatever your desire is and we can come to him in prayer. Amen. If we ask, when we lift our voices, oh my, he will have his way. The issue is our response. The issue is not the covenant. The issue is access. The issue is not sonship. Your sonship is not in question. The issue is maturity. Are you saved by grace? Let's try again. Are you saved by grace?
Yes.
Then you are secure in your covenant.
That's exactly right.
But God is looking for reasons. God is not looking for reasons to throw you out of. Listen, God is not a man that comes home and wants to find fault with his wife.
Right.
Let me try that again. If a man, Brother Tim, comes home and finds fault with his wife, he's got somebody else in mind. I mean, you can't come home, food is not right. I don't like this. Fix me that. And if she doesn't, I don't like you. Go fix your hair. Oh, you look so old. What's happening? He's looking at somebody else. God is not looking for an excuse to get out of the marriage covenant. Oh, I like that, friends. Because it's an unconditional covenant. He says, I have come down that you might have life and life more abundantly. God is not looking to divorce the church. Why? God is not going to divorce you. Divorcing you is divorcing himself. You come from him. Listen, Calvary took a bride out of his side, but the seventh seal puts the bride next to his side. We are in a union. We are growing in grace. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Not because we must become children. It's because we are children. But because we are children, the covenant gives you sonship. I so enjoyed Brother Ed Hammermeister's sermon up in Alaska where he spoke about the sonship. And this covenant gives you sonship. Obedience gives you access. Catch that, friends. Obedience gives you access. And every time Abram obeyed God, musicians come up, God opened up another dimension of what was already his. That's why God still works today. Can we say amen? I'm reading this last part here quickly, and then we'll find a place to close here in the scripture. Oh, I can just sense a lovely, sweet atmosphere here tonight. Oh, it's beautiful. Just to know that, you know, sometimes we get so complacent. Sometimes we get so bounded down with what we have and who we are that we forget. There's a race that we must run. And there are victories to be won. And we should cry, give us power every hour. Amen. Genesis 13:14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot has separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place whence thou art northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. God has never said this before, but he's breaking forth another dimension. He says, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered.
Amen.
God says, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And the Bible says, and Abram removed his tent. He removed his tent. And he came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron. So Abram was never in Hebron. It had to take a separation for him to come to the land of Hebron. Why Hebron? Why Mamre? Because there was going to be a resurrection in Hebron. It was in Hebron that Lot was buried. Job was buried. It's going to be Hebron The plains of Mamre, where Sarah must be buried. It is in Hebron, the plains of Mamre, the cave of Machpelah, where Abram had to purchase the land. He had to come to the full blessing, because that's where the Joseph is going to be buried. That's where every patriarch is going to be buried. That's where the resurrection was going to take place for the Old Testament saints. So Abram couldn't come there unless Lot was separated from him. And the Bible says, and built there an altar unto God. I want you to understand tonight that there is an expectation in the covenant from our side. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting. It's not in wandering, but in praying that we find the strength of the Lord. It's not in trying, it's not in trying, oh, but in trusting. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight.
Sing it now.
No, it's not in trying, but in trusting. Oh, it's not in running, but in resting. It's not in wandering, but in praying that we find. Be gone.
like you once again. Sing it now. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship. Saying on the weekend, and I don't know if it was in a service or over a meal or whatever else, but he said that he often says to young ministers that you got to leave the people with one, at least one sentence that they're going to write down and they're going to believe and they're going to tell everybody about it. I got about a dozen in that service. But I will tell you something, that Brother Brian said that access to the full benefits of the covenant is waiting on our obedience. Access access to the full benefits of the covenant. Wow. We have no idea how many great things are included in the package, in the covenant. And access to the full benefits. There are benefits you get just you know, by surrendering your life to Christ. There are benefits that you get just by, you know, accepting Christ as your Savior. But that doesn't mean that we have the full benefits. And He wants us to have the full benefits. He wants you to have everything that He has in store for us and nothing less. And Satan is trying to keep us away. You ask Sister Becky how many times she's been to Israel and then ask her how many times she's been to Hebron. Because Hebron's a troubled spot. And I know that in all my years of taking tours to Israel, I think I've only been to Hebron one time. It's all I've ever been. Because it's a hot spot. It's a troubled spot. And I will tell you this, that, you know, as a spiritual type, Satan doesn't want you to get near the grounds of the resurrection. Because that's where resurrection took place. And Satan's trying to do everything else to keep us away from the full benefits of the resurrection and the covenant and everything that's in store for us. I tell you what, saints of God, I'm glad I came. I'm glad I came. I'm glad I came to church tonight. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Amen and amen. All right, we're going to let you go this evening here, and just when you get out, shake one another's hand. It's so good to have all of you here tonight. And if you get a chance, shake Brother Brian's hand, and it's just a great blessing. And shake Brother Tim's hand, Sister Sarah, because you may not see them again before they have to go back. So we're just honored to have so many wonderful ministers among us. Brother Tim, would you mind coming and just closing in a word of prayer? Would that be all right? And I hate to pull you out of vacation, but come on. I feel like going on. Let's sing it tonight. I feel like going on.
Say a couple words, break my general rule of thumb here. And you know, we had the opportunity today to stop by on Brother Barry's recommendation to the Billy Graham Library, and went through there. And you know, as I watched and listened and looked, and I thought, you know, if you just water it down, it can be accepted by more people. The more watered down it gets, the bigger the crowd. And I thought of what Brother Branham said, how Billy Graham, his ministry was to the world. And then you had Oral Roberts' ministry to the Pentecostals, a little bit narrower gospel. But then you have Brother Branham's ministry to the elect. And because of that, you know, that's a very narrow gospel. And I got thinking about Esther. I'm sure not going to preach tonight. But you know, there was the first stage of being a virgin, sanctification. There's a second stage of being a concubine or an experience. But the third stage was the wife. And the wife had full access. But each type of woman has their own ministry or eunuch. You heard from the ministry to the bride tonight because you are bride. God has sent you ministers to minister to who you are. And we were blessed tonight. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, what great light you have shone in this hour specifically for your bride. We thank you for ministers like Brother Brian, Brother Barry, many others, Lord, whom, as Brother Brian said, it's not any one minister with any one special revelation or anything like that. You made us each one uniquely according to the gift, and you mete out grace according to the measure of the gift that you put in each one. And Lord, we got a chance tonight to sit under a ministry and see how, Lord, you reveal yourself through your servant, Brother Brian Naidu. Thank you, Lord, for him tonight. And thank you, Lord, that your message shone very clearly tonight. It wasn't a message to the world, so to speak. It wasn't just a message of salvation. It wasn't a message to the Pentecostals, Lord. That's not who we are. But Lord, this is a message to your bride, the beloved of the Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'll take the great things that were said tonight and you'll anchor it upon each one of our hearts. I pray, Father, that even as you spoke to me and begin to stir up thoughts within me, I pray, Lord, that these will not leave us when we leave this room, but go with us, Lord. May it become a part of our revelation. Lord, may it guide our footsteps in the days ahead and cause us, even as Brother Brian said, to make our part, to do our part in this great covenant that we are called to. We thank you for this tonight. Lord, bless everyone. If there be any needs here, Father, even yet tonight, I pray, Lord, that your presence that is right here, right now, whether it be physical needs, whether it be burdens, whether it be anxieties or anything that anyone is going through, even now, may your presence come to them, Lord, and let them know, oh God, you've got it all in your control. We commit it to you tonight. Bless this church, Lord. Bless the pastor, the deacons, the trustees, the musicians, every part of the body here, the lay people, from the youngest to the eldest, may you make this a great and shining light in this area, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. God bless you and Sister Sarah. And God bless you tonight as you go. Remember Sister Megan and remember Sister Haley, if you will. Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday. God bless you tonight. Sing it as you go. I feel like going on. I feel that he's working.